Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, we thank you to know that you're in charge of everything. Sometimes we have to be taught that. Sometimes we have to wait on you to really understand that. Sometimes, dear Father, you have to bring us to a point for us to look back to understand how you are in charge of things. And I'm glad to know what I see on the horizon of this world, that man who is trying to usurp his authority upon man, I'm glad there's a supreme being who has the authority and nothing goes on without him knowing about it. And dear Father, somehow or another will make the outcome come for the purpose of your kingdom. Now we open this precious book again this morning. We ask for understanding. Help us look at our world through the eyes of God's Word, the mirror of God's Word, that we may see things like God sees it to some degree, which help us adapt to those things that we need to be doing as we trust you through this maze that we're walking through this side of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles and turn me to John chapter 1. I've been thinking recently of why is it different now to see people saved, compare what it was 40 years ago. Why does it seem like there's less genuine people, genuine born again, than there was 40 years ago? I think one of the reasons is because the terminology that we use has been changed to mean something that it didn't mean then. I think also it is that we are looking at the eye through the world, at looking at this world through eyes that we have brought along with us, been conformed to the world rather than been transformed by the Word of God. And so this morning, I want to speak to our mind, our hearts this morning a little bit about what I call, what the Bible calls a transformed mind. If I can understand this wonderful truth, it will do something for me about how I serve God. And it'll help me understand things that I've faced in this life. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, every unsaved person that I face in this world has not a transformed mind. If you're born again, God has given you a transformed mind. But it has to be renewed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be renewed day by day, according to what Paul told the church at Rome. We're conformed to this world, being born with the nature of Adam. And therefore, there's a curse upon us. You cannot be conformed to the body of Christ until there's a transformation. Because you and I know nothing in this life except what the flesh has to offer without the transformation. Man cannot bring the transformation. Only God can bring the transformation. So what has happened, you've got people religiously who are trying to conform to what God wants and they have been transformed. And so what happens this morning, if you heard any of the news, they were talking about different religions. And they say they're all about the same. In fact, Saudi Arabia now has a television broadcast that, whereas the television station has nothing to do, according to what I heard this morning, has nothing to do but to broadcast defining Islam. They do it the hours they're on the air, 7 days a week. They have Islam programs. Everything is about Islam. They want the world to see a side of Islam that whereas they say they're not getting through the means that we have today. Let me tell you something. Everyone has a bait on top. Once you get the bait, there's more to it underneath. And so what we have today, we have a lot of religious organizations who are claiming to be transformed, but they're still being conformed to the image of the world rather than the image of Christ. And it tells me they have never been transformed. So look with me, if you will, in Gospel of John, in chapter 1, 10, 11, 12. And said, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Isn't that interesting? I've been working for weeks on a message on creation. I believe you're going to enjoy it. I'm going to do it on Sunday night. I've got some things together. I'm going to show as I preach this message that I've never done before. And I believe it's going to be a tremendous blessing to those who come on Sunday night here and hear the message when I get through with it. But I'm telling you, it amazes me. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. How in the world can you be in the world that was made by him and the world not know him? Well, that's the way it is, though. And then he says, and he came to his own received him not. Not only the world didn't know him, but there was another group of people that he claimed to be his own. And when he came to them, they also did not receive him. But I like verse 12. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to come the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you look with me in verse 23, about 19 down, verses 19 through 24, or 17 through 24, scripture goes quick and I've got to hurry. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. How do they walk? In the vanity of their mind. That's all they know. They can put on a cloak of religion, but it doesn't change anything. They still walk in the vanity of their mind. They can have a little religious deeds. They can do some good works. They can even be a good neighbor. But the ultimate end, they are vanity in their minds. Having the understanding, he goes on and says, having the understanding, the understanding darkened, been alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. It isn't that they're not educated. They may have all kinds of degrees in the world. But they're blind of the heart. Why? There's never been a transformation taking place. And so Paul goes on and he writes and he said, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If that is your category of life, way of life, you've not learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? I know that, don't you? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Paul said, the truth is in Jesus. Hey, leave him out. You don't have truth. You say, but wait a minute. We believe. Don't make no difference. You don't have truth. Leave Christ out, and you don't have the truth of God. And so he goes on, he said, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, when that truth comes out, you put off concerning the former conversation of the way of life, the old life you've been conformed to since you were born physically. You put off the conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit by your mind, and then put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You can't just put off the old, and you can't just put on the new. You have to put off the old to put on the new. And when you put off the old to put on the new, it's a continuous process until God gets us in a glorified body. And then in Romans chapter 12, we know these verses of scriptures. I hurry along. He says in Romans chapter 12, in verse 1, I beseech you therefore present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's his reasonable service. He said, it's holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this word. You heard me say many times, the word means fashion. Do not conform to this world, but be ye transformed or renewed in your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And by the way, when you begin to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, you will be conforming to the image of Christ, which is a new world, a new place in society. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and down about verse 16, Paul says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Transform mind. What does it mean? It means to change the nature and function of than what it was before it was transformed. God does change lives. You say, well, preach, why would you say that? You got so many people today have say all of a sudden they have a relationship with God and their life doesn't change. What's wrong with that? They don't have a relationship with God. You mean to tell me that God will let a man live a life and say it's wrong and then suddenly get right with God and say that God hadn't changed his life? It don't even make sense. And that's what we got today. We got a lot of confirmation in religion, but there's no change in it. Hey, I can read as I read about it and came along the end of the Depression. I can tell you about times when men went in and preached messages to people's hearts just like we have today, wicked, ungodly, and yet saloons were shut down. Alcohol places were shut up. Theaters were closed up. Why? The fear of God struck people's hearts so much when the man of God preached the word of God that people all of a sudden for a short moment began to realize who God really was. But you don't see that today. You see great multitudes coming together religiously. But it all has a catalyst rather than doctrine. There's something that's a common denominator that draws no matter what you believe together, but you don't have sound doctrine. When a person is saved, God enables us to make radical changes to fulfill our purpose and the responsibility that God has given us in this new life. The process of change may occur gradually, but it'd be powerfully. I have trouble sometimes when a person all of a sudden say, I got saved, boy, my life changed completely, never been the same since. Well, that's true to some degree, but I'll tell you this, it changed more as you grew in grace and knowledge than it did the day you got saved, as you generally got saved. You say, well, preacher, I smoked, quit smoking, praise the Lord for that. I drunk and I quit drinking, praise the Lord for that. But there's more to Christianity than quit smoking and quit drinking. It's a steady process. Thank God we'll able to lay some things down. But there's some things you're going to constantly find out you have to keep laying down, laying aside. I found a long time ago, I thank God Almighty. When I see somebody who's genuinely born again, and they'll tell you, hey, I thank God for saving my soul. He delivered me from this and that and the other. But I want you to know I still have some problems in my life because of this old flesh. Now, I can respect that person. Why? Because if he knows he's got problems, he's working on them. If he doesn't know he's got problems, he's not working on anything. I'll tell you this, you'll have to work on things for God until the day he takes you home. You and I have not arrived as yet, but this is straight preaching. We don't like that. Preacher, don't tell me that. Just tell me how I can get ahead in life. I'm telling you how you can get ahead of life here in eternity. If you do what God Almighty says do. So the process of change may occur gradually, but it'd be a powerful change. Again, Romans 3:11, it says, now they understandeth, none understandeth, none seeketh after God. They all gone out of the way. God forbid that God's child sleep in a cocoon of obscurity and not change when you look at how people were before they got saved and then say they'd be saved, not changed. Transformation is the outward working of the eternal power of God for God's child. Transformation means God's purpose now becomes our purpose. We find what God's purpose is by being transformed, and in turn, it becomes our purpose. We must not stop trying to unlock our own. We must stop trying to unlock our own resources and allow God to release His power to us to be what He wants us to be. I'm seeing so much, and so will you, if you be honest with you in your arena. If you look at those who said they're Christian not, and who are not Christian, you're finding everybody who's a Christian is being what they think God ought to accept because they're who they are. No. God has a right to make demands of what He wants rather than say, hey, you just decide and see if I accept it or not. No, He don't waste time in telling us what we should be when we name the name of Christ as our personal Savior. See, again, we have to stop trying to unlock the resources and allow God to do just that. For most of us, life has chiseled us into fragments of some kind to be what we are, not to be what we are meant to be. I want to tell you something. I'm learning, and God may have put a strap to me once in a while, but I'm learning that I am not to be what I was before I got saved. And I thought I was a pretty good religious person then. God is showing me that I need to be what He wants me to be, and that's His goal for my life. And if my goal lines up with His goal, I'm going to have it easier, even though the world may think I've got it bad. Because He's in charge. You're going to learn like John learned. He must increase, but I must decrease. And if He can increase, why we'll decrease Him and be what He ought to be in our hearts and life. God is honored from that. And therefore, Christ gives us power to be transformed into what we were created to be. God's power is not intimidated by my circumstances. As a matter of fact, Paul said, in times we didn't understand it and a thorn in his flesh, God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Man, that's a tremendous thing to learn. Any situation that I'm in this life, to learn that I am still God's child and God's grace is sufficient to carry me through anything that I face. It doesn't matter what it is. Paul said that. Paul believed that. And Paul faced a lot more things than you and I face. And God's grace sustained him in that particular day. By God's grace, hear me. Here's a wonderful thought. By God's grace, problems cease to be problems. And suddenly, problems become opportunities to see God work in our lives. And help me, God, to keep my eyes focused on you and not circumstances, because God never wanted me to face circumstances or look at circumstances. I have to face them, but not look at them or concentrate on them. My face should be pointed towards him and know that whatever comes out of the circumstances, God's in charge. That's what transformation sets forth in our hearts and lives. God's grace, problems cease to be problems and become opportunities to serve God in certain arenas. Something happens here. God, I had a chance to serve you and I did my best. Now things have changed. Praise God. I can't wait to see where you're going to put me now so I can serve you, still serve you. See, God, it doesn't matter how my circumstances change. I'm going to still serve you. And I'll tell you what, that's something the world doesn't have. Oh, you're going to be upset a little bit once in a while if circumstances changes, especially when the devastating circumstances. But I'll tell you this, God himself is in charge of circumstances, and he wants us to understand that we're not being conformed like the world. We're not conformed to circumstances here. We've been transformed, and our God's in control. And by the way, we're going to draw our last breath anyhow one of these days if the Lord don't come back. And I'm glad he's in control of that too. So I can say praise be unto us. Let me give you two quick points to transform mine. First of all, number one, God empowers those that he employs. Now, the world don't see that. Many times you have to take a flap that you don't wish you had to take. But didn't Jesus? Jesus could have zapped that whole crowd into hell anytime he wanted to. Look at how they treated him. Look at what they did. For 3.5 years, he didn't do nothing but give society the best that they could get. And look how what it ended up causing him to go to Calvary to die. I say the fact that Acts men put him there. We know our sin nailed him there, but the Acts men led to get him to that point that God could pay for our sin debt. Look how they treated him in that day. God's power, God empowers those that he employs. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I don't see how in the world you got through that. I don't see how in the world you did that. I don't see how you did this. Man, alive, I don't see how you stood this. There are many times we go through things in life. And by the way, let me just say this, folks. If you haven't heard anything else this morning, if you know God through Jesus Christ and you're facing something right now, and only God knows about it, but one or two more. Let me just tell you something. God is putting you there and allowing that for you because you're going to be a help to someone later on. He's not going to let that come out and Satan be glorified. He's going to be glorified. And somebody's going to cross your path and say one day, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. I just don't know how to handle this thing. It's just too great for me. And they're going to be right in your path. And God's going to say, son, now's your time to comfort them. You've just come through that. You know what it is. You know how it is to get along with God and cry and plead. You know how it is to say, God, where are you at? And you found that I was always there. Now you comfort them and help them know that I'm there, even though they can't see me right now. I'm there. That's what a transformed mind will do. Only God's grace can help us operate in such a case. It is God, in Philippians 2:13, that worketh in you, Paul said. Ephesians 2:13, in verse Ephesians 4:22 through 24, he said, "We have to put off, to put on. Without God's power, flesh will creep in." In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 13, I was going to read Philippians chapter 2, in verse 13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will." And to do his good pleasure. It's God who worketh in you. See, God must work in us before he can work through us. If not, we will mess everything up. You and I sometimes think we got it together. That's got it together. Praise the Lord, I learned something 2 years ago. I got it together. Anytime I think I've got it together, I'm fixing to mess it up. When it comes to God. Because I guarantee you, my getting together and what God is saying is two different things. And my getting together is not going to add anything what God's going to do unless I do what he wants me to do. And same thing here. The transformed mind helps us understand that. We have to put off, to put on. Without God's power, the flesh creeps in. You see, if I would not put off the old flesh to put on the new, or put off the old man to put on the new, then I'll find that anywhere along life it can creep in. If I don't understand that I've got to put off the old and put on the new constantly. Put off the old, put on the new. Even then there's cracks that the flesh can creep in. But it has a harder time to creep in if I'm constantly putting it off. And constantly putting it on. If I'm trying to put on without putting off, it's got a big hole to get in. If I'm putting off and not putting on, boy, it's got an even bigger hole to get in. But if I'm putting off and putting on, then it has a harder time for the flesh to creep in. And God tells us He must work in us before He can work through us. Go back in Numbers 11, 16 through 17, and you'll find that God took 80 years to get Moses where He could use it. Isn't that an interesting thing? Broken in two 40-year brackets. God, and this is what I learned from studying that. Ladies and gentlemen, hear this. God is more interested in the workman than He is the work. See, if the workman is right, the work's going to be right. So He's interested in how long it takes Him to get the workman right, then the work will be right. He can do more in a short few minutes with a workman that's right than trying to do a work with a workman that's not right. There's so many hedges He has to put around us and do for us in those situations. God told Moses to gather unto him men who he knew was consecrated elders in Israel. He said, you get them together, people you know, and what you see. See, He don't know the heart, but He said, what you see, you get them together, elders of Israel, to come, who you think are consecrated. And when you bring them before Me, He says, I will put the Spirit on them which is on you. But you're going to bring it forward. You pick out those you know that's going to support and do what you know I've led you to do. And when you do that and you bring them for Me, I will anoint them with the same Spirit that I've anointed with you. You can ordain a man only to what he already is. If a man has not been transformed, you ordain him. You just got another carnal man out there trying to preach flesh. Woe unto a person who is placed into what he is not. Man trying to be a Christian who's not a Christian. You know, he messes it up. He quits everything for a little while, and then right then you go right back in it, and he's twofold worse than he was to start with. That's the way the Scripture talks about it. They were led to be further into what they already were. They made decisions. They went further into what they... Oh, they changed and leaf a little bit, but their decision-making was worse later than it was to begin with. Why? Because God proved within a period of time they had never been really transformed. They were playing the game. In Acts 6:3, we look at those deacons full of Holy Spirit and wisdom. Paul, 2 Timothy, in chapter 2, he talked this way. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, and he said, now, and the things, now, see, by being full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit, then he said, the things that thou hast heard of Me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. You should learn in a process to be able to teach others. And it goes on. Titus 1:15 also is comparable to that. True success comes to us in Jesus Christ. Discontentment causes spiritual wandering. And leaders must not be self-centered, because if they are, they will be discontentment. God empowers those who He employs. The second point is simply this. In the Bible, it speaks a lot about repentance. You don't see a lot of repentance nowadays. In the Bible, repentance is change. It's reconciliation. Change thoroughly from something to something. We don't just change from who we are, something we are. We change to something. And that's a new process of life. Never assume that real change will come without a struggle and prayer. I think there's a misunderstanding about salvation. We get saved, and that should settle all the problems. And then suddenly you get in a bad valley of struggle, and you got to have a lot of prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God and prayer is two great tools for us in a battle of struggles. And He shows us in life, in this new transformation in life, which should be a new conforming to that life, which is the image of Christ. There are going to be some struggles in that. One moment with God's Spirit can lead you to a place of repentance that you will not find or enjoy on your own in the flesh. No one repents without seeing the need to repent. The flesh, hear me, the flesh never feels it needs to repent. It never does. It will enjoy everything this world offers. It never feels it needs to repent. It's the new creation in Christ Jesus that brings the feeling of repentance and to bring the flesh in control. But we fail to see that many times in life, because we know maybe we should repent about some things, and yet repentance never comes because the flesh enjoyed it so much. God gives us children, His children, understanding to make things right and help us to make adjustments when they're needed. This is the Holy Ghost power in us when we face those things in life that needs changes to be made. Many obey God due to the pressure on the outside. This is the temporary stuff that's going on. Pressure on the outside. If it's pressure on the outside that causes us to think about something right or wrong, then it don't take much pressure on the outside to change that when our feelings change. And music is one of the best places in society to cause a person's feeling to change. It amazes me. A certain music in department stores that caused me to buy more. I don't understand that. If you don't believe, you try. They go in there and you hear a funeral music, and you're not going to buy much. But you go in there and you hear music that you heard years ago that kind of tapped the flesh a little bit, and before you know it, you're in the mood. Don't look so pious. I mean, you feel, man, alive. You've been transformed. But there's something about that flesh that's still there. I can't help it. I don't know. I hear not too long, I was in a place, heard a song that I used to play in the 50s before I got saved on the piano. I got rattled the opera bowl. And I said, ain't it an amazing thing how I go back to that and feel the way I feel? I felt so good. I had to do some checking real fast like. You say, preacher, I didn't know you'd be that way. Hey, I want you, I'm not arrived yet. I've got a lot of baggage I'm still dealing with. I didn't have to worry about alcohol. I want a dope addict. I want an alcohol. I hate it with a passion. I hated alcohol before I got saved. So I want alcohol, but I had some other thing. You know what? So do you. So do you. And God helps us. He reminds us, hey, beware before you start judging someone too quick. And he's the right one to do that for us, you see. Many obey God due to pressure on the outside rather than power on the inside. See, obeying by power on the inside brings obedience. And then obedience is delightful. To obey God because of the conviction on the inside, to know this is something I've done that God has said not do and I've got it right. Now, it's a delightful to me before God when I stand before Him. God uses three tools to work in our lives. He uses God's Word, 1 Thessalonians 7:13. He uses prayer. You find that in Acts 4:31. He uses suffering. I wouldn't go there. I don't have time. That's a message in itself. He even uses suffering sometimes, 1 Peter 4:12-19. These are three tools to work in our lives. God used to work in our lives. And you find His Word, prayer, and sometimes even going through a period of suffering can cause us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Repentance is needed for one to move into God's divine purpose. Hey, folks, repentance is not dangerous. Did I shock you? To repent is not dangerous. To not repent could be. And the Bible teaches us much about repentance. Repentance is getting ready to do what God has prepared for us to do, Romans 12:2, by renewing our mind. He used the word conform. Be not conformed to this world. The word conform means to shape or fashion to something or someone. To make the same or similar continuously. As we forsake our will. As we forsake our will, we will conform to the pattern of His will only if we've been transformed. When we stay in our own will, we are conformed to the pattern of this world. Without transformation, the only thing I know is what this world has. I've been there so many years. And even now, 48 years after I'm saved, soon be 49 years this September, I'm still finding things that I was already conformed in this world for the flesh. Here we use the same standards to measure with as the world does. And we're not to allow the pattern of this age to shape our character. That's what he tells us. He said, be not conformed to this world. In the Greek aeon, it means age. Don't do that. As a child of God, we don't have to let the world shape our character because we've been transformed. He says in the same verse, be ye transformed. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed. It means to change the nature or function of. In this life, we have been conformed to this age for years. And then it comes a time we heard the message, the gospel message. We trusted Christ, and He placed us, baptized us, immersed us in the body of Christ. He's transformed us positionally. And now He gives us His word that we can line up the confirmation with the new transformation. Because we're in a new world now. Literally, in this life, we've been conformed to this age for years. We need to be transformed. The trans prefix implies movement. Transform. It's like translate, transport, transact, transition. Also, transform. Transform means move from one form into another. I've got news for you. It's an upward movement. We move from a lower level to a higher level. It doesn't make us pride in a body of flesh. If it does, that does something God don't want. But we are different than the world because we are children of God. To be transformed in this life, we have been conformed to this age for years. We need to be transformed. When we're transformed, it's transformed, move from one form to another. It's like a tadpole actually being transformed into a frog. Now, the tadpole world is entirely different than the frog world. And something else you see even beyond that. It's like a caterpillar transforming into a butterfly. That's even more. Caterpillar can't fly. But that new form, he can break the currents of wind or gravitation by flying. He's a new form. It'd be foolish for a butterfly to try to live like a caterpillar now in the new form. Why? He has a new life. There's a new image. There's a new direction. He'll be conforming to the new way. Similar to, as, so forth, as the word sets forth. Fashion like, to make the same or similar. He's not in the old path anymore. God has given him a new territory, a new life, which is God's life itself. Conform unto who we are in Christ. Conform to who we are. Why? Because we can be conformed into Christ now because we've been transformed. Keep in mind, conform one level, conform another level. He's not talking about conforming this level and bringing in confirmation over here for this level, conforming from this level. No, it's a different level. This level is always this world, governed by this world. This level is the image of Christ, governed by God from this book. We ain't arrived there yet, though. That helps me to understand if I go witness to a person. His culture is different, though we're in the same culture. His language is different than mine. I told him I've been born again, like Nicodemus. What do you mean? I told him I've been saved. Saved? Saved from what? The language is different even though we speak the same language. Why do I need to be saved? What's wrong with me to be saved? See, the only can think of this age, this world. It's the Word of God that comes in and brings that conviction and direction. And say, hey, there's something wrong here. And suddenly you focus on Him and say, wait a minute. Who is this Christ? Maybe what they say about Him is so. If you can get a maybe, the Holy Spirit will come through real fast. Bring conviction. The wall's been hole put in it. The wall's had a slit in it somewhere or another. And the Holy Spirit take that word right in. As long as that wall's there, they laugh at and mock it. You get a guy in pride and he's laughing and mocking at what you're doing, then a whole lot the Holy Spirit can do, except when he stands before God one day, regret it. Satan will give somebody a lot of power in this life, and they'll regret it when they stand before God one day. And that day, again, see, God has the power to transform us, then conform us into Christ's image. This is a progressive process. You and I are constantly being conformed. We are transformed into the body of Christ positionally, they would get saved. But that movement later, growing in the image of Christ, is a constant thing through our lives, down through the ages. This starts taking place in our mind. Romans 12:1, be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by renewing your mind, that you may prove what is that except the good and perfect will of God. Again, Ephesians 4:23, he said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, That's what the transformation position will do for us, so we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Only the Holy Spirit knows how to renew our minds correctly. Hey, I can read this book. Folks, if I didn't have the Holy Spirit of God and you didn't have the Holy Spirit of God, we can't read this book correctly. We're just like the world. You get over and say, well, I like this, but Genesis. Yeah, Genesis is tremendous about creation. And now we've been given 25 years about evolution because the school has said it's right. You know, the school says that this is science. We've studied it, technology. We got it all together here, and this is what we believe in. Suddenly, we're believing what the education system says rather than what God says. Sometimes even Christians can get on that borderline. Why? Because we don't have the answers. We'll take any answer. That sounds good. We have the answer. But many times then God or Satan will have us to read into the book what the answer is rather than getting the true answer. This book has an answer. And it amazes me just in the last few weeks in reading creation, some things that God cleared up in my mind that has been a tremendous blessing in studying this particular study. This starts taking place in the mind. This transformation, or just such transforming, comes as we see Christ's face through the spiritual canal. Luke 11:9 says it's this way. We ask, we seek, we knock. We ask. This is finders. Finders are the seekers after they're saved. This asking not only asks for salvation, but it goes beyond that. This seeking is gifts are given to the asker. He tells it by seeking, gifts are given to the asker. And to knock, this initiation is our responsibility. It is my responsibility to get in this book and ask God to help me. It's not my responsibility to say, God, there's your book. I sure wish you'd let me understand it. Well, son, read it. And I start reading it. And the next thing you know, I say, well, I still don't understand it. He said, well, study it. And I don't know about that, Lord. That takes a little more. Reading is like reading the paper. Study is hard work. And in my case, it's harder work. Because I just don't have a photographic mind. Most of you have a photographic mind. Forgive me, Lord. I don't have a photographic mind. It takes a lot for me to get something. But I'll tell you this. When I get it, God lets me know I've got it. No shaking when He gets it to you. No shaking whatsoever. So, to ask, to seek, and to knock. And the interesting thing about that is that those who are hungry for righteousness will ask, seek, and knock. They will. There'll be things that will jump out at you that just blesses your heart and you can't wait to tell somebody. If you love the Word of God. As God's Word takes root in our hearts, our will surrenders to His will in this new, after the transformation. Been transformed, renewing your mind. Ephesians 5:26 says, sanctify and cleanse it with thy washing of water by the Word. You see, truth obey causes growth. Always. To obey truth will always cause growth in the Christian life. Say to you, God empowers those who he employs, and He reminds us that repentance brings change. And only the transformed mind, and I close with this thought, only the transformed mind can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God according to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Once we are placed in the body of Jesus Christ, this transformation causes us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now I understand more why God gives instruction about things that are... You see, for a person... I'll just give you an example. It's a very great example. For a person to come along and tell you and I that same-sex marriage is biblical taught, is trying to conform to a religious atmosphere that the Bible does not back. And all they're doing is what the flesh wants to do. And you can talk about anything else, homosexuality or lesbian, whatever. You can talk about any of that that deals with the flesh. The reason is there's no transformation. So they go on religiously because the world is so religious. But if you truly are transformed in Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb, then God moves us to a level which in turn helps us to see an image. The image is Christ, not me or what I want or me. The image is Christ. Would Christ do such a thing? Absolutely not. That settles it. But the world can never get a clear picture of Christ because they're still here moving in a direction, justifying everything in the flesh because they're conformed to this world. If you're going to trust Jesus as your Savior, you're going to have a transformation that puts you into the family of God that's different than this world. If you're here and you're not saved, right now God loved you so much that Jesus died for you so you would could have the benefit of being a child of God with the potential to receive Christ as your personal Savior. But it'll not benefit you unless you take advantage of the potential that He's Lord and Savior. Potentially, He could save the world, but actually He only saved those who believe. That's Bible. Once you trust Christ as Savior, you've been placed into the body of Christ. And there is a new conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. And God has a lot to say about this. Anything less than that is just into the world right on. Ladies and gentlemen, the world hates any talk about adjustment in the Christian life. Let me get it and live like I want to live, do what I want to do, go where I want to go, and say nothing about it because I don't believe God really cares. Then why did Christ come? If He don't really care how things go, why did Christ come? Why did He set the example while He was here? What's the use for Christ to come and die and for us to be here this morning if He don't really care? Because if He doesn't really care, then they're saying at the end He's going to settle it all and be good anyhow. Well, why worry with what we're worrying about? Oh, He cares. He cares so much that He sets the end and tells us what to do before we get there. So we'd enjoy His presence and enjoy His kingdom and enjoy His life. Not just a little while, but forever. That's what He offers. I tell you, when you look at this life and the life He offers, you know, a 3-year-old can understand, I'd rather have what He offers than what this life offers. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank You this morning for Your precious word, Lord. Only You will know where to accomplish anything here or by radio in a few minutes. I thank You for this. Dear Lord, I thank You. Just last few weeks in studying this, how You showed me some situations in life going out soul winning, why people act the way they do. And I understand, Lord, I understand a little bit how Christ had such a compassion for them that He wept for them. He wept over people who were treating Him, mistreating Him, because He knew they did not understand. Paul said if they'd understood who they were crucified, then they never crucified Him. If people understood who they were rejecting, they'd never reject Him. It gives us some eyesight to understand. Unless the gospel of Christ is given, breaks down a wall, or gets through this offense, a rebellion, that where they can see who He really is. And they'll see Him. The Holy Spirit will manifest that. Who Jesus Christ really is. They'll never see the need to be saved. But I thank You so much, Lord, that this gospel is power enough to do that. So when I'm speaking to someone, and they're very aggressive, against rebellious, and I have to understand, I must expect that from one who can't see. They see me as an intruder trying to press religion. They see me as ones that have so much religion they lost their mind, that I've lost my mind. And therefore, they're not talking the same language. So You got to help me love them to some degree like Christ loved them so that I might be able to say words. That's the only thing we have to communicate, which will bring the realization as You empower those words to that man's heart, or that lady's heart, or that boy or girl's heart, to see who Jesus really is. And then they can trust Him and know what is to be transformed into the family of God, placed there, and then be renewed day by day through the Word of what God did. I'm glad God just places and leaves us. He takes that many steps further and helps us understand by the renewing of our mind of that which is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God as we walk with Him. And Christ is the icon. He's the image. He's the one that our whole goals go towards as we study the Word of God. And we have to admit, Lord, we fall so short. Please forgive us. Please help us as we look at Him. Never use anything less than Him as our goal. until we see you face to face. Please, Father, Holy Spirit, save someone today because they've seen the gospel message in a different way, either here or by the way of radio. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.